Well, good morning. It's very nice to be here. Thank you for your welcome. Thank you for your singing. Thank you for the music. It's not unlike being on the set of Strictly Come Dancing, being up here with the band, except, of course, there is no dancing, or not that I've seen yet. Well, so we'll see later. I'm Stephen. I'm the Bishop of Oxford. I've been the Bishop of Oxford for about 3.5 years. I oversee the Diocese of Oxford, which covers 3 counties of Oxfordshire, Berkshire and Buckinghamshire, around about 1,000 churches, chaplaincies and schools, including 850-odd parish churches. I don't mean 850-odd parish churches, I mean I can't remember exactly how many there are. So I don't come here very often, but it's very nice when I come. Thank you very much. And thank you for reminding me again, post-snow 18 months ago. Your theme this morning is preparing for Christmas and preparing in Scripture. And what I thought I might do is tell you a little about how I've been trying to pray in recent weeks. A few weeks ago, our government called a general election, which of course takes place on Thursday of this week. And I set myself the task of both praying for the election and reflecting on how we should pray for the election. And for about a month, I've been trying to pray each day in this way. And it occurred to me as I was thinking and preparing for my time with you today that it's also a good way to think and reflect about prayer in this season of the year. I went to a DIY store and bought a piece of rope. It's very rare for me to visit a DIY store. I try really hard never to go near them because that is my least favorite activity. But on this occasion, I made an exception. I've put 6 knots in the rope. And so if you want to put this talk into practice, I suggest you find a rope or a piece of string and you put 6 knots in it to remind you of how to pray. And each day, as part of my prayers, I sit and pray for government and parliament and for the election and the country in these 6 ways. But I'd also encourage you to use these themes as you prepare for the coming of Christ at Christmas. They're well suited to the Advent season. It's a way and a pattern of praying which is taken from the Book of Psalms. Not from any particular psalm, but from the whole pattern and tenor of the Psalms as a whole. So I have for you today 6 verses from the Psalms which will appear on the screen, one for each knot in the rope, as it were. And I just invite you to think and reflect in this very uneasy and difficult time in the life of our nation on these 6 themes as we prepare. If we can have the first slide, that will be really helpful. I think the first theme of our preparation, either in Advent or as we pray for anything that's difficult, including our national life, needs to be praise. The most dominant note in the Psalms is praise, and some of the most beautiful verses in the Psalms are about the praise of God. By the time I come to say my prayers in the morning, by the time I'd driven here from Oxford this morning, I'd looked at the newspaper, and I've heard the news, and I am often feeling disturbed and unsettled. And so the first thing I need to do is remember who God is and remember that what I see or hear on the news is not the whole story, that there is a deeper reality going on in the life of this world. One of the parts of my role is to be a member of the House of Lords. So I am woven into, whether I like it or not, the political life of our nation. And my chief purpose as a bishop in being in the House of Lords is to pray. And each session of Parliament begins with prayers in the Commons led by the Speaker's Chaplain, in the Lords led by the duty bishop. And we always begin those prayers with a psalm. And this one is one of my favourite ones to read, particularly in times of national emergency and crisis, which has been kind of an ongoing theme over the last 2 or 3 years. From Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Our calling as the people of God is to find and see God's reality in a deeper way than in the events around us. We are called to have a deeper stability, a keel in the nautical sense, which goes down into the storms of life. And we find that keel as we simply remember who God is, as we begin to pray and as we prepare in this Christmas season. In Advent, we can't appreciate the story of Christmas, of Christ coming as a child, unless we also take time to appreciate the majesty of God, the glory of God, who takes flesh in human form. So our first knot is praise. We can move on to the next slide. The second knot represents the other major theme in the book of Psalms, which is the book, the note of lament and sadness for all that's wrong and difficult and hard in the world. It's really interesting that at the core of the scriptures, we do not find a book of intercessory prayers. We find a book which is composed in almost equal parts of praise and lament. And if you read the book from beginning to end, you'll find that in the first half, the lament predominates. And then as you move through the Psalms towards the end, the note of praise sounds louder and louder. The major key and the minor key are woven together. And I find that lament needs to be part of my prayers and preparation, and needs to be part of the public worship of the church as well. And sometimes we lose what it means to lament. Christ comes into the world at Christmas because all is not well. And naming all the things which are not well is a key part of our prayer and preparation. A holy discontent with the world as it is. And so I need to find space in my prayers to lament at the climate emergency we face. I need to find space in my prayers to lament at the tenor of public debate and the despising of truth in public debate. I need to lament at the quality of leadership which is being offered in the present time. And I need to lament so many things that are wrong and disconnected in the life of our nation. And that too is part of the Advent season. John the Baptist comes in Advent to name that which is wrong, The voice of the prophets whom the churches remember today in the great cycle of the church year. Name the things that are wrong in the life of society. And again, we lose the sense that Christ is coming as Savior of the world unless we take time to lament and rehearse why the world is in need of a Savior. From Psalm 12, "Help, O Lord, for there is no longer anyone who is godly. The faithful have disappeared from humankind. They utter lies to each other with flattering lips, and a double heart they speak." We need to name the fact that our lives are often difficult and hard, and so are the lives of other people. And we do ourselves no favors when we overlay the difficult notes of our lives with a kind of false joy which does not go deeper than the suffering that people face. My third knot, if we move on to the next slide, and a way of praying which helps me to prepare and take stock and to reflect on all the challenges facing our nation at the present time, is the knot which represents thanksgiving. Lamentation can easily lead me into a cynicism. It's important to be honest, but it's important also to balance that picture. And so the note of thanksgiving and recalling all the good things which are happening becomes a key thread in prayer which nurtures within us Christian hope that things can be better. From Psalm 92, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night." And to practice the slow discipline of appreciating what is good in life. Giving thanks for the circumstances in which we rejoice and the people from whom we benefit. Giving thanks for signs of hope internationally and nationally. Giving thanks for God's grace and mercy in the different seasons of our lives. And giving thanks in this month of December for the good things we have and for the hope of the future restores our balance. If I had to pick one word to describe our society and culture at the moment, it would be disorientation. We are lost in very deep ways. And that disorientation affects us all, whether Christian or not. And therefore, as Christians, we need to acknowledge the pain and difficulty, but also through thanksgiving, balance it and reorientate our lives. My fourth knot is intercession. We can move on. From Psalm 90. "Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." We are called as Christian men and women, as the people of God, to pray earnestly and sincerely for the world, for governments, for parliaments, for renewal, for justice, for peace, for care for the earth. And that strand of prayer is a key thread in our discipleship, in our life together, in our leadership that we offer in society. We need to pray and to intercede. And that, I guess, is what most of us mean by praying. But actually, I find it's better to come to that, having first remembered who God is, having rehearsed what is wrong with the world, and having given thanks for all that is good. And my fifth knot is discernment. There are many places in the Psalms where the speaker is not the person praying, but the speaker is God. And this is one of them. In the middle of Psalm 94, if we can go back to the discernment slide. Just go back one. In Psalm 94, the speaker is God himself. And God says, "Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against the evildoers?" And the opportunity is there in the worship for the person to reply in their hearts, "Well, I want to do that. I'll try. Send me." Prayer is an interactive experience when we carefully hear and listen to God in the stillness and respond and reflect on what we're meant to do with that response. And so in our prayers in this Christmas and Advent season, as we look forward, there will be moments each day when we are able to say to God, "And what do you want me to do today, Lord, to build your kingdom? How do you want me to respond to the crisis we face in our country? Will you guide me and lead me?" And so to my final knot, if we can move on to the final slide. At the end of our prayers, to remember and to be still. Stillness is an underrated quality in our world. For much of the time we are busy and distracted. It's very sobering, isn't it, to get the report on your phone, if you have a smartphone, which I'm guessing most of us will, and discover how much time we spent looking at a screen in the course of the week, most of which produces not stillness in our lives, but distraction. And so we come at the close of our prayers to stillness. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. At the end of our prayers, we come to that point of stillness and balance, able again to serve God in the whole of our lives, in the world. How should we prepare in this Christmas season? How should we pray for this general election? We're to remember who God is in praise and not to be anxious or afraid. We're to be honest in naming the things that are hard and difficult and painful and grievous, to lament properly, to give thanks to God for all of God's goodness and to rehearse all of God's mercy and signs of hope. We're to pray to God, our loving Father, for the needs of the world and for good governance. We're to discern each day what God calls us, his children, to do in the face of all that we see around us. And we are finally called to be still and rest in trust and confidence and hope, as we prepare for the coming of the King. May God bless you and St. Nicholas and all who worship and serve here in this Christmas season. And may God help us all to prepare for the coming of God's Son. Amen.